It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. And why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all a work in progress. Hello again, I'm Rob Commodore. I'm your host. I'm also the author of Better Than You Think. And today I have a guest, Noelle Banks from Canton, Georgia, which is about 30, 35 minutes north of Atlanta. Noelle is a mother of three, married 26 and a half years. So it was 96 was a great year because me and my wife got married in 96 as well. So kudos to you, Noelle. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely a great year.
So anyway, 26 and a half years married. She's been in the real estate business for 20 years. And as many of you know, I do interview a lot of realtors because that's a big community I'm part of. But a lot of these realtors have some really cool stories. So that said, she's been in the business 20 years. And but before that, she was a airline stewardess. If I said that right.
Correct. Yep.
Flight attendant. There you go. So flight attendant, and she's 24 years in that business, and that's a pretty cool business. So anyway, welcome to the show, Noelle.
Thank you. Very honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
And a little secret for everybody out there that won't be a secret anymore. This is her very first podcast that she's ever been interviewed on. So we're excited to have her on. So Noelle, 24 years airlines, I almost said airline stewardess or flight attendant. You're in the real estate business. So a lot there going on. So how did you get into the being a flight attendant? What attracted you to that?
I always had a very strong passion for travel and wanting to see the world, and knew that, you know, I didn't just wake up and inherit tons of money. So I had to find a way that I could really get around and see the world. So when I was 16 years old, I begged a local travel agent's office to let me work there for the summer. And long story short, they kept saying, no, no, we don't have any positions. No, no. And I kept saying, well, I can still help. And eventually I think they got tired of me asking. And I said, I'll organize all your cruise brochures for $5 an hour. And he finally said, fine. And I did do that. And while I did that, I interviewed the travel agents there and said, I want to see the world. How do I do this? And I said, do I become a travel agent? They said, no, you should be a flight attendant. And I thought, okay. So at 16, I decided I was going to go that route and ended up majoring in languages in college. I studied French, Italian, German, and Spanish, and had my mindset on the whole time that I wanted to get out there and become a flight attendant to use it as a vehicle so that I could see the world. My other passion was theater, but I didn't want to major in that because I didn't see that really going very far with that. So that's what I did. I graduated from the University of Georgia in 98, and they had on-campus interviews for Delta Airlines right there at that time. They don't anymore. And I interviewed and got hired, and I have been a French and Italian speaker for Delta for many years.
So you were a speaker or translator speaker for Delta for Italian and French, did you say?
French and Italian. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I knew you took that and had experience in this language. I didn't know. So did you, was it mean like a translator? Is that what happened?
Yes. It's called a language position on the flight. And so you are there to do the announcements in that language. And then if a passenger needs something translated or whatever, then that's what we call it the speaker position. So that's what the speaker is for. So I was a French and Italian speaker. I'm not currently, but I was. Yeah.
That's great. So then I'm assuming you did some international travel, not just domestic.
Oh, yes. Primarily. In fact, I've done much more international than domestic because it just worked out better to fly those routes early on. But usually you can't unless you're a speaker. So I let that bypass all the kind of the paying the dues routes. I got to bypass all of that, having the language, thankfully.
Good for you. That's great. We didn't talk about that. That's awesome. Yeah. So I got to ask, what was your favorite spot you ever visited while you're working for Delta?
It's hard for me to have a favorite anything, but I have favorites. So I still love Rome, Italy. As many times as I've been there, I still love it. And I'm not even a big history person, but anyone who's into history, that's got to be a must see destination. I love Tel Aviv. That's probably one of my favorites is Tel Aviv. Hawaii is absolutely beautiful, and Iceland's pretty cool, but a lot of cool places, but those are some of my favorites. But if I could pick any route and fly it all the time, it'd probably be Tel Aviv.
Well, okay. So then when you're doing this traveling and you're seeing these great spots, like, was there a sense of awe that you experienced doing that?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, sometimes I get to spend time with other crew members on a layover. Other times I'll just go by myself. I just love seeing really God's creation. It's so different everywhere. I love experiencing different cultures, languages, traditions, just seeing different things. So I, in my profile that we do in our coaching company, my highest trait is an explorer. And so that would make sense for why I love what I do. So yes, I take advantage of every opportunity.
That is awesome. The explorer piece, that brings up the adventurous spirit in you, correct?
Absolutely.
So did you ever like pinch yourself and say, how could I be so lucky, you know, seeing the world and then speaking these languages and connecting with all these people? Was it like another world?
It's become more of that in recent years. In my earlier years, you know, I kind of just, okay, I'm doing this. And I liked it and I didn't appreciate it as much. And then sometimes I would take certain leaves, whether it was when I had kids or things like that. And I realized, you know what, I don't ever want to give that up. That is a part of me. I am, you know, really fulfilled seeing the world. And I always want to have that accessible. So go back to your question one more time. It was just...
What like the sense, did you ever pinch yourself and like...
So in recent years, I have really come to appreciate that when I had breaks where I was off and I thought, I'm never going to just, you know, sleep on a layover again or something. I mean, I am going to take advantage of any opportunities to get, because you never know when you'll be able to go back or not. So
that's so, yeah, great.
Now I kind of do, because it's gotten really, really nice now.
And have you been able to take the kids and on like these, you know, cross the ocean flights or whatnot, or international flights?
Many times. In fact, Brad, he actually used to be a teacher at a private school. And so we found that schedule, with his schedule having to teach and the kids there, it kind of limited a lot of that, because we fly standby around the world. And so the summertime, it's kind of harder to do that. And so Brad actually had the idea to pull them out of the school and him leave teaching back in 2015. And I thought it was crazy. And then it turned out to be the best decision in the world. And he said, we can give them a far better education traveling around the world. So that's what we did. So we've taken them everywhere. My two older ones got to sit in the cockpit for a little bit before we left for Madrid, Spain once. And they went for 2 days and they zip lined in Toledo, Spain. And, but they have been to Greece. They've been to, you know, they've walked through museums there, all over New York, all over, France, Barcelona. We've gotten to take cruises, transatlantic cruises around the world during school time, because they do all online school now. So they've been doing that for a while, well before the pandemic. And we just decided this is a better life for them. So it's worked great.
That is amazing, man. How lucky, right? Or blessed, I'll say, right? That's great.
Very thankful. Yeah.
So, okay. So now you're a flight attendant. And how did you get into real estate?
Yeah, that was interesting. I've always been somebody who does a lot of things at once, and I do better when I juggle more at once. When I was in high school, I was in 12 different clubs and I was an officer in 4 my junior year. And I had, my GPA was my highest. My senior year, I thought, oh, I'll back off a little. My GPA went down slightly. It was still really good, but it went down. What I learned about that is I do better when I'm juggling more. So I got a little bit bored flying. This was before I had kids. And I thought, I want a little something extra to do. And I asked a neighbor of mine who actually used to be a flight attendant with Delta, who owned a local Remax office. And she said, and I said, I didn't know how things worked. And I just said, can I just come over there and answer phones for a few hours, you know, a couple times a week? And she said, well, it doesn't really work that way. She said, but I think you should get into real estate. And I thought, real estate? What? Huh? I had no business mindset or training at all. None at all. I was a language major, into theater. Nothing to do with business. And I said, I don't know about that. So she said, I think you should just do it. So I did. And for a year and a half, I kind of played around with it. Didn't really know much what I was doing until I encountered a Brian Buffini seminar, and that there was a connection there. He showed an excerpt from the movie Mr. Holland's Opus. And the girl that had the red hair, and she was having trouble making connection, playing the music. And he said, what do people like about you? And she said, well, they say my hair looks like a sunset. And he said, close your eyes and play that sunset. And there was some connection that went off at that moment. And I knew this guy is more about more than just business. It's not just going to be the business world. There's something more to him. And I knew that it was just a connection. And so I said, that's it. I want to do what's going on here. And the person I came with at that time, the amount we had to pay for coaching, I had definitely wouldn't have, that was a lot of money to me then. And I looked at that person. She told me, do it, sign up for coaching, and don't ever look back. And I thought, and I trusted her, and I said, okay. And I did, and I never did. I've been in coaching ever since. And that was in 2004. So.
Wow. That's amazing. And I got to go off a tangent here with this whole, like getting connected with this Buffini community, and you're 18 years ago. I was 20 years ago. Yeah. It's interesting. So like when I was back in college, this is back in 1990, I played baseball, and we went to this little hole in the wall bar, like whenever we could. It was called Visions, you know, no pun there, but Visions. Right. And so you have visions in the future, whatnot. But anyway, they had the guy playing acoustic guitar, and you yell out your, whatever you want him to play. And he would play it. So I would always yell out Cats in a Cradle. And you know, my dad, we went, you know, working three jobs and never get to hang out with him much or whatnot, but seven kids. So, you know, he had to do his thing, but that Cats in a Cradle, I didn't want to be that guy. Right. So that was my song there. And then it's when I graduated college, got home, it was in 92. My mom, I go to a prayer meeting with my mom and meet this priest, and I'm struggling. I got like $53 to my name. I got $30,000 in debt, and I'm like, Father, I'm out of balance. I need some balance. I need some goals. I need to talk to somebody. So I go talk to him, and this is in 92. And this guy, the priest, talks about, hey, Rob, you got to have goals. You got to have balance and harmony in your life. You got to have it in these five areas of your life. And so in our Buffini world, Brian talks about five areas of our lives. And I'm like, so this is 92. And when I'm talking about Cats in a Cradle and the goals with the priest and affirmations. So then I go to this Buffini event in 2001 or 2002, I think it was. Yeah, 2002. And he comes out and he's talking about business the first half of the day, and it's a 2-day event. And I didn't want to hear about the sales, the money. I didn't want to hear all about that. I wanted to be a better realtor, but I wanted something to fulfill me. And I was getting ready to leave. We go on lunch break, and I had my hotel room paid for already. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just stay since I paid for it. We come back from lunch, and he comes out on stage. He goes, well, this morning we talked about personal growth and business fundamentals. This afternoon we're going to talk about personal growth and development. And he puts these five circles up on the screen, and they're the same five circles this priest talked about 10 years earlier.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, you got my attention now. You got my attention. And I'm like, okay, I'm connected. I'm in. I'm listening. And then, I don't know, 15 minutes, half hour later, he says, all right, everybody, I'm going to play this song for you. And I want you to listen to the words and close your eyes, listen to the words as I play it. And next thing you know, he puts Cats in a Cradle on the screen.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, I'm in, right? I mean, tell me where to sign. I'll press hard, three copies, tell me where to sign. So that you had that connection with Mr. Holland's Opus, and I had that connection with this. So sorry that I went totally off tangent there, but I just think there's something in this community. There's something about it, right, that we're all connected. And there's a lot of stories, a ton of success stories here. So I'm sorry to do that, but I just want to share that moment with you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So anyway, so you're getting into real estate. You said, you know, that was 20 years ago. And in the meantime, you're still doing a little bit of being a flight attendant too, flying around the world, yeah. Correct?
Yeah.
So now you're juggling the flight attendant and you're working, but real estate has taken one of the life of its own. You've done real well with it, right?
Yes. Thankfully. Yes.
Got a small team and you're very successful with it. And you might fly more, I guess, less than once a week, what a golf player does, right? Isn't that what you told me earlier?
They still fly, you know, it's wonderful insurance and the flight benefits. We use it and greatly appreciate it. And I love it. It's part of who I am. It's a passion I have. And I love serving people and meeting people all over the world. Thankfully, because of my seniority and the language helped in the past so much too, but I fly very, very little now. So it's a great opportunity to be able to keep it.
Have you ever gotten a referral in the airplane?
I had John Buffini, Brian's brother, on a flight.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, I had Brian. I wasn't working that flight that Brian was on, but coming out of one of the events, I was on the same plane with him. But I did have John Buffini in first class one time, and I noticed it on the passenger sheet, and I had my personal notes on me. So I actually wrote him a note and left it in his seat while he was sleeping at night because it was an all-nighter flight.
That's great. That is so
that
great.
Was pretty cool.
So that's awesome. Well, look, so anyway, so now you're in real estate. You've been very successful as a flight attendant. You're in real estate. You're doing real well. And then you get hit with a bombshell, about five and a half years ago. Is that right?
Yep. 2017.
So you want to tell me what happened? Tell us what happened?
Yeah. So had a small little issue, went to my doctor about it. And she said, well, you do this little, it's probably nothing or it's something. And it turned out to be nothing. She told me what to do and it took care of it. But in the meantime, she said, how old are you again? And at that time I was 40. And I said, well, I just turned 40. And she said, have you had your first mammogram? And I said, no. And she goes, you should probably do that. And I said, well, okay. So I went and had my very first mammogram, and there you go, the initial test they do, I forget, the screening is what they call a screening test, looks suspicious. So then all of a sudden they said, we need you to go back and we're going to do a diagnostic one. So then they did a diagnostic and they said, well, we see something in there, we need you to do an MRI. And so before you know it, I mean, I just went from this was going to be my first mammogram to, I think it was roughly a week later, maybe it was a couple of weeks after all the tests, I got a call on a Friday morning from and it wasn't like my doctor, it was just the one that did the test, and she didn't have the greatest bedside manner, and just said, well, I just want to let you know, we did your test and you have breast cancer, so you need to go see a surgeon. And I thought, oh, okay, what? Yeah. I had no idea. The little thing I went to my doctor about was not a symptom of it, but, you know, so I had no other symptoms. It was the strangest thing. And thankfully, I have a cousin who's a radiologist, and he was willing to look at my scans and kind of give me his direct because I trusted him, his take too. And he told me, yeah, this is what it is. And so it was what they call DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, which means it's in situ means in place, and the carcinoma is in the ducts. So it was all ductal. It had not gotten into the tissue, which is very thankful for. So the stage was actually zero. So the best stage you could have, because it had not gone to the tissue, but there's also grades of cancer. And it goes up to 3. So mine was a grade 3. So that means how differentiated the cells are and that type of thing. So it was a really nasty cancer, but because it was still contained in the ducts and had not gotten into the tissue, I was extremely fortunate. But there was 10 centimeters of it in one side. So there was no question I had to have a mastectomy on that side. They said, wow, you can't work around that. It's all got to go. So I ended up having a bilateral mastectomy and reconstruction, and they checked a few lymph nodes. Actually had to take some lymph nodes from my chest area and some from, you know, the arm area where they normally do. And thankfully the pathology came back and it was all clear in the nodes. So my surgeon declared me cancer-free. After that, I did not have to have chemo or radiation. I'm extremely thankful for that. Because I had a bilateral mastectomy, I did not have to take a drug called tamoxifen, which I otherwise would have. And it's very good that I didn't, because it makes you very prone to blood clots. And I ended up having a blood clot 2.5 weeks after my surgery, which was another major, major issue for the next 6 months. Wow. So, but the surgery was major. And because of the reconstruction, I had to use a walker for a few weeks. I had to do physical therapy for 6 weeks. You often get a thing called frozen shoulder. So thankfully that was starting to happen. So I had to go through all that. But it was really 6 months of emotional challenge to say. But what was interesting is I was diagnosed that Friday. It was Cinco de Mayo. And that Monday we were supposed to go to Peak, our Peak experience seminar that a lot of us go to. And I didn't even know if I could mentally do it. And I put a post out on our White Hats page, and the response I got was so overwhelmingly supportive. I thought, that's it, I'm going. So I traveled 3 days later, terrified. My youngest son was 4 at the time. And the outpouring of love and support from some people I did know, some people I hadn't even met yet, was astounding and like no other community. And I'm around some really nice communities, whether it's neighbors, friends, people from church, et cetera. But this community was astounding. And one person had a whole kind of like a fundraiser for me while I was there. That was Trisha Solitz. I hadn't even met her yet before. She was a nurse. I think she kind of understood. She had kids. She empathized. And it was amazing. The things that some people gave me flowers, some sent chocolates. I was just like, wow. And I walked out of there with a sense of peace and confidence that I wouldn't have necessarily heard otherwise. Darlene Perry gave me a bracelet, beautiful bracelet that was about strength and everything. right off her arm. And she said, I want you to have this. I mean, just amazing things. Christy Davis gave me a gift bag because her mother had had breast cancer. I keep thinking of all these people that did wonderful things. So anyways, very grateful.
That's incredible. And just so, again, another side note, if people can hear this, that she's ripping off these names that she's met over the years at these events. And we are, a pretty cool community. And from a business standpoint, one out of every eight houses in America is sold through somebody in this community. And it's not a cult. You know, people say, hey, you're tied up in that cult. It's just a great community of givers, of people that just their kindred spirit, and they know how to treat people, treat each other, care for each other. It's just like you said, a loving community. So thank you for sharing that part of it. I'm sure Brian will like that, right? So you get this diagnosis and you hear the big C word, and like you said, you pause it. What? Like cancer? So what's the first thought in your mind? What goes through your mind immediately?
I was 100% shocked because mm-hmm. thinking I just went for a normal thing that everybody goes through when they, you know, and then it ended like this. I was just in, you know, stages of grief, but absolute denial and shock because I couldn't understand how that would have happened. And then I started to just think about, you know, okay, this is going to be terminal. I had this mindset that, okay, almost all cancer is going to be that way. And started thinking about my kids and just what am I going to do? And really just kind of panic. But I knew that, I had begun, I had been raised in a Catholic church background, actually. But I didn't have a personal relationship with God until I was 12. But when I was 12, I knew what I was doing when I turned my life around and said, I'm going to follow Jesus, basically. And I have ever since. And so he had provided me with a peace that passes all understanding. I remember that when I arrived at that peak, Brian Buffini had left a book for me his wife went through cancer and I can't get the name. I'll think of it in a minute, but anyways.
Chad Hetzler, or What to Say, you talk to yourself?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking of. Yeah, no, it's Lou Tice.
Yeah, the smart talk.
Smart talk with Lou Tice. Thank you. Yeah. So, and his wife went through breast cancer. So that was really, really helpful. And just what you allow to go on in your head between your 2 ears is really important. And what you say. And so all of that just really, really helped me, but it was still scary going through it. And of course my surgery was a 9-hour surgery and it would have been a 12-hour, but I had a married couple that was a team that did my surgery. So it was actually about 9 hours instead of 12. So it was daunting.
Yeah, but, I can imagine.
But when I came out, I felt good. And honestly, it's hard for me to remember because I was under, you know, all the pain medications, but my mother and Brad will tell you that when I came out, the first thing I said was, okay, I made it. How can I help somebody else with it? And that really was my heart, was how can I share and help someone else to help them get through it? Because so many people had helped me.
That's amazing. So speaking of which, you know, you're going to do that. That's what's happening right now with this podcast. You're going to help somebody. And this is part of it, right?
Definitely want that to happen. Yes.
Before we leave today, you're going to give people your information if they want to get a hold of you, talk to you about this whole situation and whatnot. So, but that's it's awesome to share. So, was there ever a why me moment?
I don't think so. I don't remember like sulking in that. I remember being surprised, but I guess my mind always goes into problem solving instead of going backwards, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
So it was interesting because in October of that same year of 17, Brian Buffini had a podcast with Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And I was listening to that podcast and about 45 minutes long. And when I heard him say that up to 90% of cancers are preventable, it was another light bulb moment in my life. And I went, what? I thought it was just kind of a luck of the draw. And it started a path where I dove into research, deep into research, and actually flew up to New Jersey and saw Dr. Fuhrman several times. Dr. Benson is his side doctor. And so they both helped me. They helped educate me. It's a lot to go into, but if anyone ever needs the resources, I have them. But basically I learned that your lifestyle, diet, exercise, sleep, toxins that you expose yourself to, et cetera, have a whole lot more to do with cancer than just genetics. Now, there are 5 to 10% of cancers, as he will tell you, I'm quoting what Dr. Furman said, that are just, it's a genetic thing. It's not lifestyle related, but a strong, strong percentage of it is. And that gave me hope, actually, because then I realized, oh, there's a lot I can, thankfully, things were clear after the major surgery. And so it gave me hope that, hey, I can make changes so that I don't have to do this again, and to help other people so that hopefully I can help prevent somebody from going through this again. So that's what I did. I immediately turned my lifestyle around. It was a little drastic for some of my family, but I knew that's what I had to do. And eventually Brad, within 6 months, totally started changing the way he eats. And my kids do now too. And my youngest doesn't even know how we ate before. and they're very, very aware of, mom, yeah, we read the ingredients on this, and they're very aware of things now. So it's been really good for them.
That's interesting. Cause when I was getting ready to ask you, I think you pretty much answered the question. Cause some people might say, this happened to me. And I asked if you had the, why me or what was me moment. And the next question, the follow-up question I was going to ask you was, what did this do for you? Yeah. Because things happen, people think, oh, this happens to me, but no, they happen for you. And I would say you answered that and telling us how you changed your diet and how you guys, the whole family eats healthy. And you're telling a bunch of people right now that it's good to eat healthy if you want to prevent cancer to some degree.
Yeah. And the other fun fact that Dr. Furman shared was 99.5% of heart disease is preventable with diet. So really great way to prevent, it's much easier to prevent heart disease than cancer, but great hope for people out there who think cancer is always terminal. It doesn't have to be.
That's funny. And you bring that up, the Furman book, because I was at one of the events when he talked about Furman and all the food. And remember, he gave out a Vitamix, or he sold Vitamixes one time at one of those events. And I bought one that event. But anyway, I was cleaning up my bookshelves this past weekend, and I came across the Furman book. And I'm looking at it right now across from where we're talking. It's sitting on one of my shelves right now. So that's good stuff. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was mostly it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So now, okay, you get the diagnosis, you get through it. Now you're eating well, you're doing well again. And here we are 6 years later. And so what can you share that you haven't shared yet as far as the eating went? What you could share with people about going through this process, the mental strength you have to have to take yourself through it. Can you share anything about that?
I think it's so important that you surround yourself with people who will support you unconditionally and love you unconditionally in life for for all sorts of reasons, not just if you get a diagnosis, but in general. No man is an island. We're designed to be around people. And it's really important who you choose to surround yourself with on a consistent basis, which is one of the reasons why I so very much value our White Hat community and Buffini and Company. So, and then I have some communities that are local that, are great friends and family and that type of thing. So I think that's really important. I think it's important to know, and in my personal experience, that there is a God and he loves us and he has a plan, and not every plan turns out the way we might want or expect or, can foresee, but he's got a plan. And I've seen some situations where people had something and it didn't go well at the end. But boy, did they leave an impact. Their life left an impact. I think it brings about a great awareness of the fragility of life and the temporary how short life is, and that we need to embrace every moment. In the best way, I think just being grateful is a life changer. And I have to remind myself of that daily too. It's not like I've got it all mastered by any means, but anytime I get a little funky or off, I need to just think, okay, what do I need to be grateful for?
Now, when you got that diagnosis, were you able to do it in that moment?
Maybe not that exact moment. I had to come out of shock a little bit. Right. And it started kicking in when I got to the event 3 days later.
Okay.
It was more, to be honest, I think I was a little bit more afraid, but not, angry. I was just a little bit more afraid, just still being in shock, but not total fear, because I know who my maker is, and I know where I'm going to when I die. And that's what I believe. So, I have a peace in that. So because of that, you know, it can still be scary. And, you know, it's not fair to say, oh, you'll feel just fine, you know, but it's not that. You go through emotions, but there's an underlying peace. And like Jesus calls it, a peace that passes all understanding. You can't understand it, but it's just a peace that you have that, okay, one way or the other, I'm going to just take this day by day and I'm going to get somewhere with it. And I'm so grateful I am where I am now. I mean, so, yeah.
And you just have this great energy about you sharing this, and I can see the peace, you know, coming through the screen here. So thank you. It's good. Cause I think, you know, we all have this level of anxiety, you know, that we, I don't want to say we can either tolerate or we just go through, and like the smallest thing can send some people way off. The largest things can just maybe barely affect somebody. So we're all at different places. So when we have these anxious moments and you can dive into that relationship, that's what I think is so powerful. And you've exemplified that from what you said today.
Yeah.
I got to ask you a question though, before we wrap this up. You said at age 12, I'm going backwards now, at age 12, you accepted Christ. Was it something happened back then that you said, you know what, I want to do this? You were raised Catholic, but it sounds like at age 12, something happened. Can you share that with us?
Yep. So I was born in upstate New York in Utica and lived there till I was about nine-ish. And then we moved to the Atlanta area because my dad was tired of shoveling snow. And there was sun and opportunity in Atlanta for him, and it's been great for us. But so we moved here, and then a couple of years later, he was actually invited to a church that was just non-denominational, and it struck a chord with him. And so he started bringing us. It was a little shock for my mother, who had only been in a Catholic church for 40 something years. We went, and it was the first time that we had personally been exposed to, hey, you can have a personal relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And I want to be very clear and sensitive to the fact that there are plenty of Christians who are Catholics. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying my experience was that I just didn't experience a personal relationship there. And I did when we went to this non-denominational church. So now the church that where I'm at now, that this wasn't at the time, it didn't exist at the time, is part of Andy Stanley's church, North Point Ministries throughout the country. So he's one of the most significant pastors out there in the country today. He has a show after Saturday Night Live called Your Move with Andy Stanley. It's really good if anyone wants to check it out. anyway, it was a non-denominational, it was the relationship. It wasn't just religion, but relationship. And that's where I can talk to God and it's the most important relationship in my life, you know? So somebody at church at that time had said, you know, if you'd like to invite Jesus to live, you know, be in your life, then that's what I did. I could feel the Holy Spirit personally in my life ever since then. And I've had that connection ever since.
Good for you. Cause I was going to ask, is it the church or is it the choice? You know, is it it's the church that helps you have the relationship, or is it the choices we make? I know you talked about being surrounded by people. And what would you say to that?
I think the church was a facilitator to allow for that opportunity. But I think the difference was the choice I made. It's just, but sometimes, you know, people aren't exposed. They wouldn't know about the choice. So I think it helped. Yeah, to facilitate that. But no, I think it's definitely the choice I made. And even though I was 12, I was very serious about that. I, you know, I think even at that time, I had started using like a little bit of bad language or something at 12 years old. And I said no more. And I stopped that. I was very conscious about, you know, who were going to be my friends, the dating path I take. When I went to University of Georgia, nothing wrong with a fraternity or sorority, but I didn't go that route. I knew of a group called Bulldog Christian Fellowship. And so I thought I'm jumping right into that. And I've been very intentional about all my surroundings, friends, people, anyone I dated, the, you know, Bulldog Christian Fellowship, churches. I've always been very intentional about who I surround myself with. Yeah. And I think it's made a huge difference in my life.
I totally agree with you. I mean, like, you know, I'm Catholic, born and raised Catholic. Well, you know, I plan on always being Catholic. So I don't know that it's the people and the choices you make, the people you're surrounded with and the choices you make, I think that, you know, help guide you and feel that. Cause I totally believe the Holy Spirit's involved in all this, you know, And I believe that's what kind of started this podcast, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
just having a moment, a Holy Spirit moment. And it's been really good. So thank you for sharing that, because, you know, we do, I think it is a choice that we make at some point. And it's a kind of who we surround ourselves with or who connects with us at some time, at any point in time. But, you know, I think we have to make that decision to have that relationship with Christ. And you would agree with that, I think.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
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 So sorry.
To know about it and then make the choice. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So before I leave you today, I'm going to ask you, how much more chiseling do you have going on in your life?
Oh, plenty of work for me to grow in many ways. Thankfully I've come a long way in some areas and I've still got a long way to go in others, but you know, it's a work in progress. God's working on me in progress. So yeah.
Well, that's the subtitle of this podcast, because we're all a work in progress. And so I didn't pay you to say that either.
No, right. That's right.
So right. Timely phrase there. Thank you for sharing that. So, hey, Noelle, if people wanted to get a hold of you, and I'm sure you welcome that, how could they get a hold of you?
Yep. So you can reach me. Our website is www.thebanksteam.com. And then my phone number is 404-388-3961.
And you've been a pleasure and a joy to talk to you today. And congratulations on getting through your first podcast. I think you did awesome.
And
you're going to impact and inspire so many people. So I'm really grateful for you.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. And I had complete strangers from across the country that helped me when I started my journey. So I want to be there. And even if I'm a complete stranger to someone, to help you too. So
that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Noelle. Look, everybody, I appreciate Noelle being here today. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, everyone, let's go get chiseled.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pomodoro. Be sure to like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than Equal.